This is So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that will challenge Christian paradigms, uproot traditions of man, and in the end, energize your faith by grounding you in solid biblical truths as you learn to see Scripture through the eyes of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Welcome, author and speaker Rabbi Jeff Grillo of the Rock of Israel Congregation in North Carolina, a Messianic synagogue that is part of the National Jewish Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. Now, Rabbi Jeff.
All right. Shalom, shalom. Welcome one and all to another exciting, or at least I believe it's going to be an exciting episode of So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast ministry outreach of the Rock of Israel Congregation in Hickory, North Carolina. If you are ever in the area or plan to be, just come on by, visit with us. We meet every Shabbat Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Amy, give us the web address at the end so you can come check us out. And if you can't, then we invite you to catch a live stream. But today, and again, for the YouTube audience, I feel a little weird. I left my sunglasses at my desk at the congregation, so I'm not exactly sure if I'm looking in the right place, but it'll be all right. You can just pretend I'm looking where I'm supposed to be looking, I guess. So today's topic is a cool topic, and it's one that will reveal something perhaps a little mysterious, something perhaps that you have heard described by pastors in various capacities. Some more accurate than others will give them the benefit of the doubt, at least on a midrashic or parable storytelling level. We'll say it works that way. But today we are looking at, what did Jesus actually write in the dust in the temple in John chapter 8. You know the scene. We're just coming out of chapter 7. It's the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles. It's mid to late fall. October this year is 2025 is when we will be celebrating the Moedim, the feast day of Sukkot, with our congregation locally. But this is the last and greatest day of the feast, where Yeshua stood up and declared that if anyone thirsts, come unto me, and I will give them drink living water. So that's kind of the setup. The next scene, we switch over shortly thereafter to chapter 8, and Yeshua is in the temple, and the Pharisees come dragging a woman caught in adultery. And this is where it gets interesting. We got to set the scene. We know the Pharisees were threatened by Yeshua, by his knowledge, by his power, by a threat to their power that they perceived that they had, and in many ways they did. And they weren't ready for Mashiach to actually come, for the Messiah to actually come. But they put him in, or tried to put him into, a bit of a catch-22 situation when they said, Moses said, according to the Mosaic law, that this woman ought to be stoned to death since she was caught in the act of adultery. What say you, Yeshua? Now, there's a couple things going on here. Number one, if he said, go ahead and stone her according to the Mosaic law, on the one hand, that would have been an easy score, I guess, for the Pharisees, because at the time, the only ones in Jerusalem that had any kind of authority to carry out capital punishment were the Romans. So if Yeshua had said, yeah, go ahead and stone her, he would have been guilty of sedition or some sort of crime against Rome, and likely would have been tried and dispatched. that way. The other problem is that Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 is very specific that when a man and woman are caught in adultery, that both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be brought before the priests. And the penalty is stoning to death. So if Yeshua also had said, go ahead and stone her, he also would have been guilty in a way of violating the Mosaic law in and of itself, because where was the man? Where it clearly says both of them are to be put to death. Why then was it just the woman? Which also could point to not only them trying to catch him on one of the finer points of the law, but also could have just pointed to the fact that they themselves made a mistake, where they were in error. So Yeshua is, you know, kind of squats down and he starts writing with his finger in the dust. And we'll come back to that, why that's significant in and of itself. But he's writing, and likely, we don't know for sure at this point, likely he may have been giving a reference to Leviticus 20:10. But he stands up and he says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, and then immediately crouches down again on the ground. And once again, begins writing something in the dust, but this time it catches their attention, silences them, shuts them up, and one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and turned and walked away. And then, of course, you know what happens next. Yeshua turns to the woman where he accuses. She's, you know, they're not here. There's none, my Lord. And he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. But the question becomes, what could he possibly have written down with his finger in the dust that would have brought up about this reaction? Number one, let's look at the fact that from the oldest to the youngest, the oldest presumably would have been also the wisest. The oldest would have the most experience, would have learned the most Torah. And it was an oral society. They all, at least amongst the religious leaders, they certainly all knew the Torah inside and out. But not just the Torah. They would have known the prophets and the Psalms and the writings, right? They would have known all of Tanakh, all of what we call today the Old Testament. And surely, when they saw him writing their names in the dust, the overwhelming sense of conviction must have flowed over them. Now, how do I know it was their names? Let's go to Jeremiah, or turn yourself now, pause this, or go check it out after the podcast. Jeremiah 17, verses 13, maybe 13 and 14. And I'm really going to probably not do a terribly great job paraphrasing. The blind man here is going to do the best. But basically, it talks of the Lord, you know, being the hope of Israel, right? That God says that for those who forsake him and turn from him, that their names will be written in the dust for rejecting or turning from the Lord, the spring of living water. Think that through for just a second. Remember, this is the time of Sukkot. Yeshua just would have been observed by these same men, declaring himself as Mayim Chaim, the living water, the fountains of living water. And where else do we see one writing with one's finger? It's the Lord, right? We see him at Sinai, writing the mitzvah, the commands, the instructions, and the tablets with his own finger. And the only other place we see it is the writing on the wall where the hand of God, his very finger, wrote upon the wall. So here we have the third time, the only times that I know of, where the Lord is writing. So now they have this picture that only the Lord himself is known to do this. He's fulfilling the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17:10. He's kind of turned the tables on them, not taking the bait and getting in trouble with the Roman authorities just yet, because his time had not yet come, but also not being deceived in a partial truth. Remember, Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days by HaSatan himself, who quoted scripture, right? He did. He just did it incompletely. He did it out of context. He did it sort of halfway, kind of like a lot of the pulpits in America today, right? Just half-truths, not the whole story. But nonetheless, Yeshua, knowing the Word, he was the Word, right? He was the embodiment of it, John chapter 1, the Word that became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled amongst men. Remember, this is Feast of Sukkot, tabernacles, ingathering, Feast of Booths. It goes by a bunch of different names. So now, as Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story, and you got to ask yourself, what else are they not teaching me at church? Find yourself a Messianic congregation. If you're in Hickory again, come make the Rock of Israel your own. Shalom, shalom.
Thanks for learning with us today. For more information and resources, or to invite Rabbi Jeff to speak at your church or next event, call 1-828-201-2883. Once again, that's 1-828-201-2883. Or visit myroic.org. That's myroic.org. Shalom.